Welcome to Senior Power of Maine.
Hi, I'm Lynn McGregor.
And I'm David Neely, and welcome to Senior Power. Lynn, as you know, this time of year you think of family as you get close to the holidays, and in fact, we even have a family member of mine on the line, Lois Neely, who is also one of the editors and a writer and an owner of Maine Seniors Magazine. And I had asked her if she might have some interest, if she could share with us what it was like when she grew up as a child and give us a through the years of Thanksgiving and the holidays. Welcome to the show, Mrs. Neely, Lois, Mom. And I guess we'll refer to her as Lois now on the show.
Okay.
Welcome to the show, Lois.
Thank you, David. I'll refer to you as David.
Well, that's very good. And here I'm sitting with Lynn. And one of the things we don't usually do on the show, but we think Thanksgiving and the holiday season is important enough to do this, is to time the show by speaking directly about the holidays. And we thought you could give us a little glimpse of through the years, based on your experience, of how Thanksgivings were celebrated back along and how things have evolved through the years.
Well, I'd be happy to. I have to tell you that when you get to be my age, there are a few gaps in the memory, but through the years, the first Thanksgivings I really, really remember. I was only 9 or 10, and my father used to take us to a football game, an annual Thanksgiving football game, neighborhood type thing, and we had to get out of that football and home and dressed up to be at my grandmother and grandfather's house by 2 o'clock for Thanksgiving dinner, and it was a really, really festive day. Of course, you always dress. That's not the way it goes today, but we dressed in what my grandmother used to call your Sunday go to church with clothes. And when we went up there, they had help in the kitchen, which was lovely, and we had the most elaborate dinner, served exactly at 2 o'clock, with all the fixings, the turkey and the vegetables, 3 different kinds of pie, though I wasn't big on mincemeat pie at that age. 3 different pies, plenty of everything, and as soon as we finished this delightful repast, all the men went to sleep, and women, and that left my sisters and me, and my grandfather, God love him, who would take us for a walk in the park. But it was a memorable, memorable day. That was when I was very young.
Well, then as you went a little bit later in the years, because, I mean, we do have to time this a little bit, my guess is you're talking somewhere around 1944, somewhere around there?
Or 50, maybe. And then I moved on, yes, and went to school, and when I got married, and next thing you know, I had children. And it was, we still went to Grandma and Grandpa's house, but it was on my husband's side of the family. And it was still the same type of thing. You were invited for 1 or 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and you got all dressed up. And the kids didn't mind. None of you children minded. You knew that that's what was going to happen. Everybody got dressed up, you know, the black patent leather shoes and the bow ties on the boys. We went up there, and again, we had a marvelous. I mean, I can't even remember all the vegetables and things, far more than we serve today. I don't think today's Thanksgiving dinners are quite as elaborate as they used to do. But I do know one tradition that's continued through the years, at least in our house. All the good china came out of the closet, and all the crystal glasses, and if they were only used a couple of times a year, it was always at Thanksgiving. So the table was beautiful. That was special to me.
Well, that makes me want to get out the china now. I'm doing Thanksgiving this year for my mom, my 2 sisters, 2 of my nieces with 1 boyfriend, and probably another sister and her husband. That one's yet to be determined, but Mom has all this china, which we usually bring out just for Christmas, and I'm thinking where it's a smaller crowd and I do all the cooking, that maybe I'll get the china out. My sister does that. She has very formal dinners and she usually has the table set a week ahead of time. I don't know if you did that, but
I did it a day or two ahead of time, and the vegetables prepared and the decorations
yes.
up. We had a couple of little statuettes of pioneers and some glass turkey candle holders. things that were specifically Thanksgiving.
Yes.
And they all went on the table. And yeah, it's a big meal to prepare. And it sounds to me like you're going to have a big crowd of people.
Well, potentially at least 8 of us. So it's unlike Christmas, where there's usually about 20 of us. So that one's a big one. And occasionally we do, depending on people's comings and goings, resort to paper plates on that one. But again, my sister will always go in and set the table and make it look fancy, and the napkins and mom's bronzeware and things like that come out. So it's a lot of fun. She loves that decorating. She likes to make things fun and pretty. And I need a couple days start to get it done.
Oh, I do too.
Yeah.
But I love that festive look. And I think as the children were younger, particularly, that they appreciated it, to see everything. Oh, there's the turkey from last year, and there's the pioneers and things that we'd always had. It was tradition, like Christmas ornaments or something.
Yes, absolutely.
Years later, when, you know, the advent of the color TV, and you had the Macy's Day Parade, and you had the football game, and some of those things actually did steer all of America as to what time they would sit down for Thanksgiving dinner. And of course, today, when you look at the ratings of programs, that they basically suggest that most people are dining after 2 o'clock, and in some cases even a little later, and it is somewhat driven by the fact that people are getting used to, as a sort of a tradition, to watch the Macy's Day Parade, to watch the football game, and so it sort of has been something that people have steered around when it comes to the timing of the dinner. And I was just wondering if that type of thing really happened with the radio. It appears it didn't, and that we didn't maybe even until color TV let the TV programming influence at all what time we all gathered for dinner.
We didn't in our house, David. The radio had nothing to do with it, and it was, you're right, because once we had the Macy's Day Parade, Thanksgiving Day Parade, then we wanted to watch it, yes. But I don't even think the radio was on during the day for Thanksgiving. So we planned dinner so that we always could see the parade, the end of the parade. But then, of course, as you said, the football came into it, too. So for a while there, we were kind of squeezing Thanksgiving dinner in, but we never left it out.
Well, it's also interesting that today, Thanksgiving Day weekend, is one of the largest travel weekends of the year in America. And I think it was probably a little bit different back in the day, because more families live closer together instead of being spread out all over the country.
Well, that's true. But don't forget, over the river and through the woods, to grandmother's house we go. I still think it was a tradition. And once, as you said, people lived closer together, that's fine. But
and, of course, that's very prevalent today. And and I think some of those traditions change. Of course, now today you have people individually that are on their mobile devices. And, that's competing for what we call the old-fashioned conversation and real family time. And yet some of those things, even though there have been these changes, remain the same. I mean, even with the turkey and some of the fixings, I imagine some of that stuff is pretty much the same way it's been for decades.
Oh, I think you're right. I think there are traditions that if they aren't continued, it's not the same anymore. I think that, in fact, when I said something to your sister Kathy, what's your first word, the first word you'll think of when I say Thanksgiving? And she'll say, oh, the turkey. Now, there are a lot of people who feel that way. The smell of your house with turkey.
There's nothing like it.
It's a matter, isn't that great?
It is.
Well, even when we went to my mother and father-in-law's and my mother and father's, I put a turkey in the oven at home so that when we got home, we had the turkey and the, you know, for leftovers, which everybody always said you have to have leftovers.
Yes.
And the house smelled like roasted turkey. It was fantastic.
Yeah, that's part of the whole tradition, is the smells that go along with tastes and, you know, the things you see. And I'm all about the smell.
I agree.
Yeah.
So,
it's a nice...
as David said, today people can get together. They can Zoom and they could, but I hate to sound old-fashioned, but I don't even know some of the expression, but they can see each other and communicate over the air, and maybe that's very different. We never could do that before.
And of course, before the meal, we started with grace. And I remember one of mine I got to deliver one time. Thank you, God, for the birds that sing. Thank you, God, for the food you bring. Thank you, God, for everything.
Thank you, God, for everything. And we all remembered it.
Well, I know it was a short one, but that's what I had. But no, seriously, and I'm even wondering, though, I think with a lot of families, that hasn't changed. Before their meal, they start with grace. Many times they rotate it, but it can also be one of the more elderly at the table that mm-hmm. will lead off with grace.
And then sitting around.
Go ahead. Pardon me?
No, go right ahead.
I was just going to say one of my grandfathers did, but we always hated it when we were young because he could go on and on and on. But yes, we always started with grace.
And then one of my favorites was, when we'd get done eating the meal and before dessert, we'd sit around and go around the table and say what we were thankful for.
Oh, we did that a few times, Dave. Do you remember that?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, I'd forgotten that.
Yeah, well, you can bring it back this year.
That's a thought. Thank you, Liz.
You're welcome. It always amazed me to see, particularly with kids, they'd always astound me with what they'd come up with that they were grateful for.
That's true. For some people, it's very simple because they thank you for everybody at the table and for being here and for good food. But other people have amazing things they're thankful.
Oh, they are.
And children do. You know?
Yes. Yeah. And particularly if it's something that big that happened to them that year. You know, it's
mm-hmm.
it. That's one of my favorite parts of the day is hearing what people are thankful for.
Oh, we'll have to try that one again.
You know, Len Kay had spoke to us about generational issues relative to the fact that now you may see more and more that the grand families, he calls them, where grandparents more involved with the grandchildren, and in that we're almost sort of leaning away from what was automatic assisted living or nursing home or that type of thing, and more of families taking care of one another like it was way back when. And one of the neat things about this is that it seems that Thanksgiving is one of those times for sure when you have the very oldest in the family and the very youngest all congregating.
Yeah, that's very true, and it's very special. I think that in other countries, European countries, they had a head start on us when it came to families staying together. But everybody knew, little children knew their great-grandparents and their grandparents because they were all together so much. In fact, they lived together quite often. And that customs, the family customs moved along more smoothly that way too, instead of someone telling you how it used to be.
They'd get to see firsthand and experience it.
Right.
Yeah, there's nothing like that experience. You can't relay it in a story sometimes.
No, it's true.
But I thought Thanksgiving, and I could be wrong, but I thought Thanksgiving lingered beyond the day, in that we actually, even the very next day, we were still sort of focused on the leftovers of turkey and family being around and some stories, etc. Where now it seems like instantly, and I say now, it's probably been going on for a few decades, where instantly, come Friday, you take off the Thanksgiving hat and you put on the Christmas hat.
Well, some do, David. Your mother does not. In fact, I still have the leftovers, and I have to make the turkey soup, and that hangs on for about a week. I don't like the rushing of the holidays. I mean, we go from a jack-o'-lantern to a turkey to a Christmas tree, and we rush through everything, and quite frankly, I liked it the way it used to be.
I agree. This whole Black Friday, the shopping, you know, and I've got a sister who's done it, gotten up at 2:00 in the morning and gone and stood in line.
Oh.
And I just think she's playing crazy.
Maybe she is. No, I'll tell you, I won't do it.
No.
I wouldn't, but that's all right. That's me.
Yes. I'm with you. I stick more to the traditions because, again, I'm the one who does the cook, so I get up and make the turkey soup and cut up for turkey hot turkey sandwiches and make more gravy and that kind of thing for the next day. I almost look forward to that just as much as the turkey dinner.
I agree with you on that. For one thing, it's delicious, and for another thing, it's more relaxed.
Yes.
The pressure of Thanksgiving dinner is off, so to speak, and you can just enjoy the leftovers.
You know, it does appear, though, that, and I guess there are certain traditions, and some of which you've already spoke to, that not only the turkey and the fixings, but that football, even going way back, seemed to be a part of that day. Of course, then it was the local community, and now it's the game that's televised. And it also appears that Thanksgiving still is one of the number one holidays for families to gather, even if they have to fly all over the country to connect.
Oh, I think you're right about that. In fact, probably bigger than Christmas.
Well, it's good to know that even though we have not the same Victorian era or Norman Rockwell era of the Thanksgiving scene, so to speak, that a lot of that tradition, or at least the family gathering aspect for Thanksgiving, still holds true in 2021. And Lois, we thank you so much for sharing your past and Thanksgiving, and we hope that all the listeners are able to join with their families and have a very happy Thanksgiving this year.
Well, thank you, David. It was a pleasure talking to you and Lynn, and I wish you both a very happy Thanksgiving.
So, David, if I want to listen to last week's episode, where do I go to do that?
All you have to do is go to seniorpower.me. That is seniorpower.me, short for Maine, seniorpower.me, and listen to your favorite episode of Senior Power. And now we have on Laura Fassett of the Senior Planning Center, who has an interesting story to share with us. Welcome to the show, Laura.
Thank you, David. How are you today?
Well, very good. And I understand, and don't be wrong, these stories are not uncommon at the Senior Planning Center, where you have an opportunity to enhance people's health care and save them some money. But I had been told, you know, I hear these things through the group grapevine. I did not hear directly from you. But when I did hear through the grapevine that you had quite a story, I thought, gee, we ought to get this out to the people so that they know that we are really here to help with your health care for all our senior listening audience. So what did take place?
Well, you're right, David. We definitely stand by our saying, you know, help when it matters most. And I actually jotted this down and sent it out to our coworkers just so that they could see. You know, we do this, you're right, a lot. This is an everyday occurrence for us. I had a husband and wife, both, you know, in their 80s. They had come in July because of the Medicare Advantage plan that the wife was on was getting too expensive for them to be able to meet the monthly premium. And also with the husband, he had a prescription drug plan, which was costly to him. So upon asking him some basic qualifying questions, because we don't do just Medicare. We are definitely here to help our clients. And one of the ways that we do that is through the Medicare Savings Program. It is definitely income-based, so that's the first thing I question. You know, what do they have for monthly income to see if they would actually qualify for what we call extra help. And what that actually does for them, it saves them the Part B premium of $148.50 from coming out of each of their Social Securities each month. And it also gives them low-cost prescription drugs and also pays all their medical copays. So when I started adding everything up, it actually added up to a yearly savings of $7,392, plus their medical copays will also be taken care of.
Thank you so much for being on the program today.
Thank you, David, for having me.
Medicare is so confusing. I didn't know where to get help, but I wouldn't call a plumber in Arizona to fix my pipes in Maine. So don't call some out-of-state 800 number to navigate Medicare plans when your help is right here at home. The Senior Planning Center represents all Medicare Health and Part D plans. They have trusted professional experts in every county. You should call them for your free Medicare review.
Call 223-6565 today. That's 223-6565.
Hi, this is Lynn McGregor, and welcome back to Senior Power.
And now we have with us Gary Crocker, Maine humorist, elsewhere in the world. I think they call them comedians. But he is here to humor me, and I mean humor me, M-E, for all of us here on Senior Power of Maine. Welcome, Gary.
Morning, dear.
Hey, I wanted to let you know that from time to time, the radio antenna blows a little in the breeze, and I know that you, of all the people I know, have vast knowledge of many applications for duct tape. Do you think that could help us with a radio antenna?
You'd need about 400 or 500 rolls of it, but yes, it would. And the first thing you want to do is duct tape the transmission operator right to his chair. Make sure he's paying attention. Once that happens, you're in business, mister.
Well, and I bet you got a few other duct tape tips. I mean, I'd hate to have any of our listening audience buy a few rolls of duct tape without knowing all the applications right here at home.
Well, for instance, I'll give you an example. A friend of mine used to be, he was a legislator, and he used to be a state trooper. And so, based on habit, he was driving through the rural area of Lincoln, Maine. The first question I had was, how do you know when you're in the rural part of Lincoln, Maine? I'm just curious. And he didn't have a direct answer. He said, it ain't actually urban, but it ain't rural neither. But anyway, he was driving through. He got just out into hinterlands, out in the woods. And as he's driving by this car, it looked like there was a couple of fellas fighting on top of the car. He said, my God, what has happened here? Because being a former trooper, he whirled around, wanted to see what was going on. He got back. It weren't two fellas fighting. It was one fella who had struck a deer, and he had drug it up on the top of his car to take it home with him. You know, cut it up for the family, but he didn't have any rope. So what he did, he put all four windows down on the car, and he had plenty of duct tape, and he run it through the car and up over that deer and duct taped that deer right to the top of his car. And of course, the problem at that point was you can't. When you want to get in to drive the vehicle at that point, you've got to get in NASCAR style, you know, come racing across the road and launch yourself in through the open window and hope you don't catch a leg on the steering wheel. But otherwise, yeah, that's all good. And another good use of duct tape that I ran across myself, Mother and I used to have chickens just outside of the building. Down over a little bit of hill. Now, it's not bad in the summertime or the fall or the spring, a little muddy, but not bad. But in the winter, it gets a little icy on that road and that walking down over the hill to get to the chickens and feed them. So I was looking for some way, and I couldn't afford the crampons. They were charging way too much to put crampons on my boots. So instead of that, I took duct tape and wrapped it around with the sticky side down. And then I walked through the cat's litter box on the way to the door. And she picked up enough litter in one or two trips through that box so that it would keep me from skidding down over that hill down toward where the chickens were. The only problem, of course,
Is that the cat that chewed the new shoes?
That's the one! And of course, and I tracked cat, you know, leavings all over the living room. That's the part Mother didn't like that much. Because it left an odor. And she said, we got plenty of odors in here, especially after baked beans. So I don't want you tracking that stuff around the house anymore. So I had to give that up, and I had to actually suck it up and buy them crampons, which I didn't want to do. They wanted $3.95 for a pair. It was just too much money.
And Gary, I wouldn't ask a question like this, but my co-host Lynn has a fairly personal question to ask you.
Now, Gary, this is Lynn. I'm Dave's new co-host here, so I'm a little new at all this. I want to know what else you do with duct tape.
And she's talking personal things. Is there anything you've done with duct tape that you either regret because it was maybe something that was privy to you that most people wouldn't even agree with the application? And I'm not saying like the cat litter on the bottom of the duct tape. Actually, I think that's being somewhat pragmatic.
Yeah, oh, that was genius as far as I was concerned, but except for the quest of leaving. But not too long ago, there was a well-endowed lady in West Gardner, Maine, wanted to get into a prom dress, and she went, and it was a what they call a braless dress. You know, then no strapless and braless and everything, just the dress and no straps and nothing. And she said, how am I going to get things where I want them to be and have them stay there through the whole prom? And of course, there's only one answer.
Duct tape.
Oh, yeah. My goodness. And, well, aren't you glad you asked, Lynn?
Yes, I I was thinking more of a sports bra, but that works as well.
Well, the thing with it is, it worked slicker than a fart in a windstorm. It really did. But the problem with it is the unapplication. You know, the application went just fine. But there was a lot of screaming going on when it came time to get rid of the duct tape. That's all I'm saying right there. And there were red marks for years, I guess. I went there. I've just heard stories. And I understand this. She didn't do it again. That was a one time, one and done, as they say.
Ooh, that's a good one, Gary, and thank you for joining us today. The good old days and how time goes by has been depicted by so many musicians and writers over the years. We all know the concept depicted in this song, Cats in the Cradle, by Harry Chapin. My son turned 10 just the other day. He said, thanks for the ball, Dad. Come on, let's play. Can you teach me to throw? I said, not today. I got a lot to do. He said, that's okay. And then he walked away, but his smile never dimmed. And he said, I'm going to be a lot like him. Yeah, you know I'm going to be like him. So we know this tune, and the cats in the cradle and the silver spoon, the little boy blue and the man in the moon. When you coming home, Dad? I don't know when, but we'll get together then, son. You know we'll have a good time then. The good old days and how time goes by. Well, he came from college just the other day. So much like a man, I just had to say, son, I'm proud of you. Can you sit for a while? He shook his head and he said with a smile, what I'd really like, Dad, is to borrow the car keys. See you later. Can I have them, please? And the cats in the cradle and the silver spoon. Well, we know this tune. And it makes you realize how precious every moment is as we go through life. Indeed, Frank Sinatra had a similar theme with It Was a Very Good Year, referring to back in the day when he was 21, it was a very good year. And on, the September of my years, many songs that really make us recognize the value of time gone by and how important and precious today is. Another great tune by one of the many people who sang it, Roy Clark. Yesterday when I was young, yesterday when I was young, the taste of life was sweet as rain upon my tongue. I teased at life as if it were a foolish game, the way that evening breeze may tease a candle flame. The thousand dreams I've dreamed, the splendid things I'd planned, I'd always built to last on weak and shifting sand. I lived by night and shunned the naked light of day, and only now I see how the years all ran away. Yesterday when I was young, Roy Clark. So the good old days and how time goes by, or we could say how time flies, makes us realize that we need to appreciate every moment and make the best of today. Thank you for joining us on this episode of Senior Power.
My insurance kept going up and up and up and up.
I was getting a lot of mail about Medicare.
I could never have navigated through the loopholes.
Mainers across the state are finding help at Senior Planning Center, which represents all major Medicare health plans.
Senior Planning Center was a lifesaver.
Senior Planning Center did it all.
Gave me all my options and signed me up with what I needed within an hour.
Call 223-6565. 223-6565. Help when it matters most. SeniorPlanningCenter.com.